Our sermon today is Abiding in Truth Will Set You Free. This is our reference today is going to be, our passage, is John 8, verse 31 to 36. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for the reading of the Word. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your Word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here with us to give us wisdom, give us insight into our own lives, draw us closer to your Son. May the words that come forth from this preacher be your own and not my own. May you be glorified in this. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If, therefore, the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. Now, in the previous passage, it ended, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. That was verse 30. Now in verse 31, we come to his response toward those who believed. He challenged them to abide in him. Sure enough, just as we have seen in previous passages, their belief did not run deep. If you remember in John 2:24, many believed in him, and Jesus said he did not entrust himself to them, because he knew their hearts. These people believed he was the Messiah, but they were not interested in a committed life. Many profess to believe in Christ today, but there's no fruit because they have no desire to be in the Word. They have no desire to leave their life of sin. The Apostle James said, "Faith without works is dead." After all, the demons believe and tremble. That's in James chapter 2. Many profess to believe, but they do not tremble. Jesus never preached God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He preached repentance. And to professing believers, he often told them what true faith looks like, and he told them why they were not saved. In this passage, he challenged them. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free." So see, we only come to that by abiding in his word. He gave three things. If you abide in his word, A, you are truly his disciples. B, you will know the truth. And C, the truth will set you free. Now, the truth will set you free. The world loves this clause, this portion of Jesus' quote. You hear it all the time. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. But they leave out the part about knowing the truth can only come from knowing Jesus Christ and abiding in him. Not knowing of him. Jesus said you have to abide in him to know the truth and be set free. But the world does not want God's truth. They want the truth to confirm their bias. They want the truth to be what they think the truth is. So they comfort themselves that their truth will prevail, and they cannot see they are embracing lies. In our culture, the truth is considered to be relative to our personal beliefs. Everyone can have their own truth. Mankind wants the truth without God, but Jesus told the people plainly the truth is centered in Him, and it still is today. God does not change. Jesus warned, if you look for truth within your own wisdom or within the world's wisdom, it is darkness. The light in you is darkness. Deep darkness is what He said in Matthew 6:23. If the light is in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? You cannot know the truth without Jesus Christ. He said you must abide in His word to know the truth. And only then will you be free. If the truth makes us free, what is this freedom? Romans chapter 6, verses 18 and 22 give us a clue. Paul said, having been set free from sin, we become slaves of righteousness. And he said, went on to say, now that you have been set free from sin, you become slaves of God. See, we have to serve somebody. We're going to be a slave to something. In Romans 8, verse 2, Paul wrote, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ from the law of sin and death. The Apostle James, Jesus' earthly brother, called God's law the perfect law of liberty. The Apostle Peter wrote, live as people who are free, living as servants of God. Freedom is the right and the ability to serve God and follow Christ. Seeking freedom from God is finding bondage to sin, while seeking to abide in Christ is to be truly free indeed. So in the next verse, verse 33, they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? So in another passage, Jesus warned against trusting in heredity for salvation, specifically to be born of Abraham. In Matthew 3, 9 through 10, Jesus told the Jews, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So when challenged by Christ to abide in Him, to know the truth and to have freedom, the people were offended. Now take note, these were professing believers. The Bible says they believed in Him. But when He spoke the truth, they were offended. They were offended by the words of Christ. Many professing Christians today are offended by the words of Christ. They don't like what they read in the Bible. The believers tried to set Christ straight. They claimed to be offspring of Abraham and had never been enslaved to anyone, and therefore they were already free. How blind their pride and their religious practices made them, because they were free in no respect. So we see two areas where they were not free. Number one was in their religion. They were currently enslaved to the rigid law as taught by the Pharisees, which depended on the traditions of men. And they were enslaved to the Roman government. Now, as in their history, they'd been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And then they were slaves in their own territory throughout the whole book of Judges. Many nations came and conquered them and put them and oppressed them until God set them free. And then finally, Assyria and Babylon took them out of their land and enslaved them in foreign lands. And just recently, they had come back. They forgot about all that. So oblivious to the facts, they saw themselves as free people. They could not see the truth, and they could not see they were not free. Jesus told them to abide in Him, and they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Their response was to come back with a lie. Jesus gave the same promise to us. If we abide in Him, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. If we want to live godly lives and see the fruit of God produced in our lives, we must abide in Christ. And Jesus said, in John 15, 1 through 6, he said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. I don't want to be one of those branches that's thrown into the fire and burned. I want to be abiding in Christ so that the Father continually prunes me. Pruning is difficult and it's hurtful, but I'd rather be pruned than burned in the fire. Amen. Now, most professing Christians do not want this conditional freedom. They want easy grace where they can remain in their sins, believing God understands their hearts. They falsely believe they can remain in their sin and still escape the fires of hell. They do not have time for God, so they do not abide in Christ, and they are not saved. Slaves to sin, to those who claim salvation through their heritage in Abraham, Jesus wasted no time on this subject. He got to the root of the problem. Without a believing faith, which results in abiding in Christ, you are still a slave to sin and are not saved. So the next verse, Jesus answered them. This is verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. All men are bound to sin, which is why he came, to give freedom to those who believe. We tend to see people in one of two camps, good guys and bad guys. But Jesus said, whoever practices sin is a slave to sin. All it takes is one sin. And the Apostle Paul reminded us in Romans chapter 7 that sin is still in our nature. We fight with that constantly. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, all mankind are in the bad guy camp. None of us are in the good guy camp. We're all in the bad guy camp because every man is a slave to sin unless and until he is set free in Christ. In Romans 6, verses 16 and 23, Paul wrote, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Excuse me. To the Jew, Christ warned against trusting in their line of birth for salvation. To the Christian, he warned against trusting in a profession of salvation, a profession of faith. Unless there's an abiding in Christ, you cannot be saved. Those who cling to their heritage in Abraham are just like those who today cling to the date they were saved. Both avenues to salvation are futile, for their faith is not in Jesus Christ. They may believe he is the Savior, but a true believing faith leads to a hunger for and an abiding in Christ. This is reflected by being in the Word, spending time with God, and learning about him. Most people do not have time for this, but they mistakenly think they will have time for God in eternity. If you do not have time for God now, why would you have time for him in eternity? The Son sets you free. The next two verses, verses 35 through 36. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, up until the passing of Sarah, Abraham had two sons. One was Ishmael, the son of Sarah's slave Hagar, and the other was Isaac, the son of the promise. Ishmael and his mother were sent away. They were cast out of the house because the slave's son was not the heir. This is an example of what Jesus was talking about when he said the slave does not remain in the house forever. The slave cannot give life. The slave cannot give anything. Not all who believed in their lineage through Abraham were saved. Just as both Ishmael and Isaac were sons of Abraham, so too some of Abraham's seed are slaves to sin. Some are sons of the promise. The slaves cannot be set free from the yoke of the world, but the sons of the promise are free to follow Christ. Isaac was a type of Christ. He was the son of the promise. He owned the entire household because he was the heir. Promise speaks to election. Jesus said, only those who are given him by the Father will come to him. Christ is the first begotten of God, and we who believe in him are adopted into his families as sons of promise. That's in Romans chapter 8. Now, regarding this election, Paul spoke in Romans chapter 9. And not only so, but when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's promise of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. That's Romans 9, verses 10 to 13. And Paul was quoting Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3. The people Jesus was talking to believed they were saved because they were offspring of Abraham. So Jesus pointed out Abraham had two sons. They are offspring of slaves, and there are sons of promise. The son of the slave was cast out and could not fulfill the promise. Like Isaac, Jesus is the true son, and salvation comes through the line of promise. Salvation, therefore, does not follow human lineage. Salvation follows promise, or God's election. Salvation is by faith in God, which is given us by God. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourself, lest not of works, not because of a decision you made, lest any man should boast. God alone will get the glory for our salvation. Following the son of unbelief leads to slavery to sin. If you follow Christ, the son of the promise sets you free, and you will be free indeed. So in closing, Jesus was talking to professing believers, and he told them they were not saved. He said if they were truly his disciples, they would abide in his word. But they fought him on that. They were offended by that. Rather than seek the truth, they wanted their worldview to be the truth, how they saw things. They were angry at Jesus when he did not confirm their bias. But he told them they must abide in him. If we abide in his word, then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Are you in the word, my brothers and sisters? Amen? We must be in the word to be set free, and it is in Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Nothing I have done, no works of mine, Jesus Christ alone, his blood. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3 that he nailed my sins to the cross. And in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that in 1 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that Jesus gave us his righteousness. God sees us as righteous now through him because of what he did for us. So if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen.